What's the episode? What is the episode?
Season 3, episode 4.
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 Welcome to Season 3, Episode 4, the podcast where we watch that episode of a television show completely out of context with the rest of the series.
It's late enough in the show to be good and early enough in the season to make sense.
I'm Lisa.
And I'm Adam.
And we're here with Matthew Gray, Matt Gray.
Hello.
How's it going, Matt?
I'm doing good. Very excited to be here.
Right now.
This is thrilling.
Yeah.
This is honestly thrilling.
Matt, so fun. I work with Matt.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody who's listening. Actually, everybody who's listening is like people I work with
anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Basically, they're
my coworkers.
Hi, Taylor. Hi, Crystal.
Hey, y'all. How's it going? One of my old coworkers. Hey, Natalie. Maybe you're listening.
Natalie?
Yeah.
Hi, Natalie.
She might be listening to this because of the stoner aspect of this show.
Of King of the Hill?
King of the Hill, yeah.
The stoner aspect?
You played on Adult Swim for a while. Like reruns would play on Adult Swim.
We went
would play. reruns would play on Adult Swim, and that's like, you know, it's the stoner
trend. I feel like now too, it's like, because King of the Hill runs on FXX.
Mm.
That is like definitely the stoner channel now too.
Oh.
Like
FXX is?
Oh my god. It's like it's Always Sunny, King of the Hill,
oh.
Family Guy, American
Family Guy. I think What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh shit. Yeah.
Dave.
Oh, God.
The one with the show with Lil Dicky.
Yeah.
It's on FXX.
I've gotten people like, I've told this on the podcast before, but people have like stopped their car in the middle of the street to yell at me, hey, Lil Dicky, I love you.
Yeah.
You're amazing.
You do look like Lil Dicky.
He recently got a haircut, but it does get quite poofy on the sides.
Quite poofy. Yeah, you don't understand.
Oh, yeah.
That's why
I'm wearing a hat right
now. Yeah.
I woke up today and I was just like, there is no chance I am doing my hair. This is not a visible podcast, right? There's no camera anywhere.
No cameras.
No. All right,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, that's ideal.
Are you
ideal.
Kidding me? I'm dressed in bike shorts.
Oh, God. Yeah, I'm in basically PJs.
Yeah.
I'm wearing a shirt that says, T-Rex also hates pull-ups. Like, no adult human being wears this in public.
Oh, no. Or should wear.
Or should wear. Yeah, yeah.
So, we watched King of the Hill. Yeah, great show.
Yes, King of the Hill. My favorite show.
Your favorite show?
One, at least one of them.
Yeah.
One of the greatest pieces of American art ever made. I'm gonna die on that hill right now. I'm gonna go on the record.
Yeah, you're king of that hill.
I will be the king of that hill, and I will die.
Wow, yeah.
I have so many opinions about this show.
Excellent, let's get into them.
Yes.
King of the Hill, a Fox series. IMDb summary of this show is a straight-laced propane salesman in Arlen, Texas, tries to deal with the wacky antics of his family and friends while also trying to keep his son in line. This episode is titled Pregnant Pause, spelled P-A-W-S, love a pun.
That's cute.
It aired on October 13th, 1998, and the IMDb episode summary goes, Hank wants Lady Bird to have babies, but the veterinarian tells him it would be nearly impossible, so he attempts to discover a way to get her pregnant, which is only the, like, A story. There's, like, a B story that's, like, wild in this, too.
Yes. Oh, a very good King of the Hill B story.
Yeah. And perfectly, like not too much. Definitely not too much.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. What's the guy's name?
Dale Gribble.
Dale
Gribble.
Cool.
Dale Gribble. Rusty Shackleford.
The neighbors in this show are great. Like, and even the one guy, what's his name? The one who tells Bobby he's
Bill.
Not a dog.
Bill Dotrieve?
Bill. It does so little, and yet you've learned so much about his character.
Yeah.
Bill.
Yeah.
As the show goes on, Bill has so many layers.
Yeah.
Like, he is such a complex character.
Like the guy eating dog hormone biscuits has layers.
He's looking in the window as Hank and
Debbie, Peggy
are about to get it on. He's happens to be looking in the window.
Yeah.
Oh, like, yes. What the Come fuck?
Weird.
Yeah. Dude.
They don't even tell him to leave. They just shut up.
Hank is just blinds. Like, I can't even begin to address this right now.
That's pretty much like Bill's relationship and the whole show with them. It's just like, oh, like, this poor guy's just here. Like, yeah. We can't help him.
He reminds me of Teddy from Bob's Burgers.
Yes. Oh, like, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yes. Very similar.
We can't help him. Yeah. We can't help him. Like, he needs it.
He can't be helped. Wow. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Why? So, this is your favorite show?
Yeah.
This is like, this has been my comfort show ever since I moved to the city. Because, like, back when I lived in the suburbs, like, I would watch it when it was on, but when I moved here, I was like, I just need something to like throw on in the background. So I put it on, and it was just like, it just scratches an itch. Because like my hometown is a really weird and terrible place most of the time.
It's comforting, but like, though, yeah.
It reminds me of home, even though it's not Texas. Like, it's an hour south of here.
Yeah.
But like, I just like, there's so many of the characters in the show are like people that I grew up around.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, oh my God, like, I've lived this.
Yeah.
Especially, wow. Like, Bobby Hill, too, I feel like, is the most relatable, like, kid on TV. Just because, like, every struggle he has is, like, something I think anyone that was a kid at one point had to grow up in that environment, like, struggled with.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But yeah.
He said, like, one of his first comments early on, and I forgot the joke. I didn't write this one down, but he said something that was so relatable, and it was a joke about either the dog or something else. He felt
was
like...
Was it about him like, wanting a sibling? They got
the dog
because they didn't have a brother or sister for him.
Yeah, for him to, like, grow up with. But then, Luann is not his sibling then?
Luann is his cousin.
Okay, got it.
Yes. Luann is a cousin, but they live together.
Right, right.
Luann's also great.
Oh, yeah. What is it? The summary on Google calls Luann a deadbeat.
That's
check
rude.
This out.
Wow.
Check this
so
out.
Rude.
I looked it up this morning. Set in Texas, blah, 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 who lives with his substitute teacher wife. Wannabe comedian son Bobby and deadbeat niece Luann.
Wow.
What the fuck?
Wow.
Because she's not a deadbeat. She's constantly like, doesn't she has a job? She
so
goes to school.
Luann is definitely not a deadbeat. She is just like constantly trying. So like her mom is Peggy's sister and her mom is like always in some sort of trouble, like legal trouble. Life trouble.
Yeah.
So that's why Luann lives with them. And it's like her whole like storyline is her just like trying to figure stuff out. Whether it's her like going to beauty school, finding God. As a lot of people do in that situation.
Yeah.
She has her boyfriend Buckley, who tragically dies in a propane explosion.
Oh shit.
Spoiler alert.
Damn it.
R.I.P. Buckley.
Oh no.
Buckley, and I will say Buckley's the coolest guy.
Oh.
Really is. Oh. Really works at the town's like version of the Walmart.
Yeah.
But Buckley's a champ.
Yeah.
Also, Luann is played by the late Brittany Murphy.
R.I.P. R.I.P.
Brittany Murphy is incredible. Cher, or she wasn't Cher. She was in Clueless. In that one movie. You know what? It doesn't matter.
you said that this is like one of the greatest like American show. And then you also said that it was like extremely relatable for you growing up in like in not a big city kind of a space.
Yeah.
When we watched Arthur, we talked about how it felt familiar in that like these kids were all friends and like kind of lived around each other and it felt familiar and relatable. And then Lisa was like, oh, that's wasn't relatable to me. I didn't have that relationship with the kids I went to school with, or I didn't have that like that neighborhood relationship with them. And I feel like that's the thing that like divides people on this show is either you feel like immediately like I know this space, or you're like, oh, I grew up in a city. I never like,
oh, I
never
know
had
this space.
This at all.
Yeah. This space is like, I feel like, it's so much of America.
Yeah.
Like, and literally anyone who grew up in a place that isn't a large city can identify with things that happen on that show, especially like if you look at things from Bobby's perspective, just as like some kid.
He doesn't have friends. All of his friends are the adults.
Like he has he has Joseph and he has Con Jr.
Yeah.
Like
that's
the two neighbors. But that's it.
Yeah.
And like otherwise he's just surrounded by like his lunatic neighbors and his parents who are the most normal people. Even though like
Interestingly enough, in the scope
of it. Like
the most normal.
Or maybe Boomhauer's most normal, I don't know. But like
At least the most stable.
He's the most consistent. But yeah, like especially from Bobby's perspective, like it's just very it's very relatable.
Wow, yeah.
Like, so many moments from my childhood, I can, like, see things that, like, they wrote for Bobby, and I'm like, yep, I remember that. Like, that happened. Like, it's just, it's crazy how accurate it is.
You said that this show, or this episode, sets up, like, a lot for the rest of the series. And I noticed that, too, like, reading the descriptions on Hulu, they actually carry through this plot line with, like, them trying to have kids.
So, this season in particular of the show... All right, so this is season three, obviously. Mm-hmm. And, like, the first two seasons, the show is very much, like, just every episode was different. Where, like, definitely in this season and some of the later seasons, they started to, like, finally push, like a plot instead of just having something different happen every episode.
Right.
So... Like, one of the plots that starts is Peggy wanting to have a baby, all because Hank wants to get Lady Bird pregnant, and Peggy is like, wait, maybe I want a baby.
Yeah.
Let's not worry about the dog here.
Yeah.
But yeah, it starts there. And, like, one of, like, the running gags throughout the series is Hank's narrow urethra.
Right.
Like, this is where we find out.
This is the beginning of it.
It's like, it's mentioned a lot. But it is one of Hank's defining characteristics, his narrow urethra.
I like how that's a tension related thing. Like, he's so uptight that his urethra is narrow.
I love that they're like, you should just wear boxers.
Yeah. And he's like, and they're like, oh, well, if that doesn't work, if that's not an option for you. Like, he's so uptight that boxers sounds like a bad idea to him.
Yes.
That's wild. That's wild.
I mean, it speaks so much to the show about, like you can't talk about the show without talking about, like, Americana at all, right?
Mm-hmm. Suburban life.
Suburban life, yeah. You can't talk about the show without talking about masculinity, right? And what that means to guy, like, a guy like Hank, who is so, like, caught up in what America thinks or what, like, socially we've taught men to be, it's affecting him physically.
Well, and it's affecting him, too, in his relationship with, like, with Bobby.
Oh, yeah.
Because Bobby is so opposite of that.
Bobby's gender fluid. I don't care.
He's so, like, cool.
Yeah.
Like, Bobby's the coolest kid.
Yeah.
And Hank has, like, such a tough time, like, grappling with the fact that Bobby isn't just, like, some, like, Texas kid, like, masculine asshole.
Yeah, like, wants Bobby, to play football.
Yeah, Bobby and, just, like, wants to tell jokes and be a rodeo clown.
Like, I swear, if this show was made now, Bobby would be a gender-fluid queer kid. Like, it's so the opposite of,
there's,
like,
a lot of fan theories that think he was, for when the show was made, you know, 23 years ago.
Right?
Yeah,
he's, like, so in touch with, like, it.
Bobby gets it.
Yeah.
He gets it.
He's not held down by what society thinks he should be.
And that's why Bobby is, like, such a powerful character, too, as the opposition to, like, literally the entire town. But he's still the coolest kid. Like, and he doesn't give a shit. Like, Bobby Hill's the man.
I love him.
what a smart, intuitive 12-year-old, you know? Yeah.
And you're right. That relationship really pits him and Hank against each other. And, like, Hank also seems like he has that with Peggy, where, like, she won't just tell him how she feels. Like, she's been passive aggressive all week about him trying to get Lady Bird pregnant because he really, like, what he wants to have a kid, but his urethra is too thin.
I think they just want another dog. Like, I think, honestly, at the heart of it, Hank just wants another dog because he's bored and he's Hank. And
I thought of it as, like, like they said at the beginning, she's like nearly 13. This might be her last. I thought it was like a age thing. I thought it was like like death's around the corner. This is the last time to feel young, feel vibrant, feel like we can create life. And it's kind of hitting like them as parents because they're kind of, you know, older. I mean, they're older. They're not like old or anything.
Bobby's 12, 13, you know, but I think like that whole, like literally that whole storyline, like we were saying, like pulls together so much stuff that happens later in the season because that literally opens up that like Pandora's box of Peggy being like, well, maybe I can have a kid because I still can.
But, and then there's a bunch of questions and like routes they have to go down. Dang.
Yeah, it's a very deep episode.
Yeah.
They even talk about, oh my God, they some of the things they talk about in vitro, right? And Hank obviously has the wrong opinions about in vitro and what's like a legitimate way to have a kid. Because plenty of like couples have kids through in vitro fertilization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, The thing is, it's really heartwarming why he doesn't want to do that, because he can't, like, wrap his head around the romance of it.
Yeah.
Like, he wants to just be able to be, like, it's all about him. Like, he's the reason he doesn't want to do that, because he feels inadequate. And he wants to just be, like, your atypical dude who can just get a lady pregnant by doing
just,
it.
Yeah, just be a baby factory out here.
Yeah.
But he says he doesn't want to put his wife through all of that stuff. Like, he doesn't want to put Peggy through all the stuff that he's putting Ladybird through, which is a lot. Like, he fully just, like...
Yeah.
It's deep.
Like, yeah, he goes
Because I watched it. I watched the episode again this morning, and I was just like, damn, this is heavy.
Yeah.
Like, this was a very good episode to land on for the show, because it's very uncharacteristic of a lot of other episodes. Like, throughout the whole series, there's like your serious episode, as you do with like any comedy, but like this one in particular, it's like damn. But I think that's why like the B plot with Dale is so good.
it's so
just like has nothing to do with anything else until the end of the episode.
They tied it in really well.
But yeah, they tied it in perfectly.
But it's also insane. Like, he's... Dale's plot is that he goes to a gun range. Yeah. He learns he could be a bounty hunter. He learns what a bounty hunter is.
He doesn't overhear people talking about it. He's reading people's lips
while
he's shooting a gun at a target. Like... So funny.
Comes over.
I was reading your lips over there.
That's pretty good.
That was really good. Yeah.
And so then, oh, keep on going, Lisa.
Well, he takes a video course.
To
become a bounty hunter.
The class of Thursday AM.
Jesus. And how?
The test, remember what I told you about the test. AABAC.
See, and like, so Dale in particular is the character that like I see most of in the suburbs, like growing up.
Yeah.
Because like Dale's whole MO throughout the whole series is the fact that like in his head, he's like this cool, like doomsday prepper, like know-it-all. Like, there's thousands of people like this in the suburbs right now. I could start naming people,
but they would come after me.
Like, literally, like, preppers, people who think they know it all, like, the government's trying to get us, like, I'm going to start storing canned food.
Uh-huh.
Like, there's so many people like that, but at their core, like, they're just such weird, wimpy people. Like, and that's what Dale is throughout the whole show. He's like, you know, I'm going to find you, this and that. I'm going to be a bounty hunter. I'm an exterminator. But, like, the second anybody tries to, like, go after him, he just starts cowering.
He has to face himself in this.
He's his own worst enemy. Like, he's just so, like, he's so caught up in his own, like, fantasy version of himself that he just fails to recognize the fact that he is nothing like it.
Yeah.
And that's, like, literally 75% of the people in the suburbs right now.
I that really like landed for me, because like I haven't watched this show that much, but like I've always seen his characterization. He's wearing these glasses,
with
cigarette glasses, and I was like, oh, those are just how this show is displaying glasses. And it's like, no, these are reflective Like, these are those mirrored glasses. Yeah. Everyone who wants to be a bounty hunter also wearing those same glasses.
Yeah. She's just a caricature.
They're all cut from the same cloth.
Also, the through line for me in this episode, what I keep thinking about is that Dale kidnapped their dog.
Yeah.
And, but they're, I know them, and they're just going to forgive him.
Yeah. Then it's like Dale throughout the whole series just routinely fucks people over. Like, it's just, and they're just so selfish. And they're all just like, eh, like, okay.
He's like so dumb that they like can't even be mad at him. They're like, well, he's just a product.
He's just Dale.
Yeah.
And like his whole subplot is really interesting too, because he's a very miserable person. But like his wife, like his son is not his son. It's John Redcorn's son.
Right.
He doesn't know, even though John Redcorn is at his house with his wife every day doing spiritual healing. A running gag throughout the most of the series that he's just like totally blissfully ignorant to it. And like there's points where it's like, all right, he knows
it's pretty obvious
that Joseph is not his biological son. But I will give Dale credit. Like, he raises Joseph. He is Joseph's dad.
Yeah.
But he is not his biological father.
And Joseph's, like, not a bad kid. Actually.
Joseph's, he's kind of weird. Like, he's always,
he's
like...
He's kind of a dick to Bobby sometimes.
I feel like he's just, like, constantly taking advantage of Bobby, but, like, I don't know.
He's
I feel like that's just his father. If I was, like, think about the environment Joseph grew up in.
Crazy. His actual biological father is constantly around, but won't
not raising him. Yeah. Like...
What's going on? They look exactly the same.
Like,
what is the indigenous narrative that's happening here?
I think it just goes more to Dale. Like, I think a lot of that is more just like his blissful ignorance.
Yeah.
He does not care about anything other than himself and like him looking good or like trying to look cool, whether it's him like trying to become a bounty hunter or like just trying to do all these like weird hyper masculine things.
Yeah.
Because he literally only cares about himself.
Yeah.
But he does raise Joseph like well, I guess. I don't know. Like,
he's at least a father.
Exactly. And like he's around for him. And like that's definitely proven throughout the series. Like when Joseph does well, like Dale is always there for him.
Aww.
Which I think that's sweet. Really sweet. Like that's. Of all the things about Dale, like, that's definitely his truly only, like, good quality that isn't just funny.
Yeah.
Like,
wait, isn't there a storyline that, like, wasn't his father just garbage? Didn't he, like,
Ooh.
I feel like there's something there.
Well, Hank's father, Cotton.
Oh, God, I know.
Cotton,
like,
Hank's father
worst.
Is the worst. I don't remember for Dale's father. I mean, I would assume so. I would have to dig deep.
I feel like there's an episode that addresses it, maybe. But I could be wrong.
I love the scene where they're, like, prepping Lady Bird for the, like, mating with the other dog.
Oh, my God.
And they're all dressed up.
Oh, my God.
And then the guy brings the other dog, the hound, and he's dressed
he's
up,
wearing
too.
A tuxedo.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait, in this world, they all value it like
that
this?
That was something I was thinking of.
Well,
I was like,
no,
I've never tried to mate a dog.
Yeah.
Like, is that, like, a ritual? Like, if you are bringing two dogs together, does everybody have to dress well?
he just said that he was late to something else.
Yeah, he had, like, a bachelor's auction.
But,
like, and it was Buck Strickland is like such a classic like Texas piece of shit character.
Oh my God. He says he calls this sex. He says, "Howdy, ma'am, the debutante."
Oh my God!
God, what the fuck?
Oh my God!
I think it's even funnier too because like Lady Bird like is just this bloodhound, just like sleepy dog that they're just trying to like dress up and do all this stuff for.
Yeah.
She's just like.
She's
just
the
sitting
most
there,
chill
just
dog.
The most stoic dog.
Yeah.
She's like got a bow on and stuff. Like, this is outrageous.
She straight up reminds me of my grandpa. Just like, it's like Lady Bird is just sitting in a chair in the corner, watching the news.
Lady Bird's just always hanging around.
Like,
yeah.
When Dale like took Lady Bird, I was like, is he gonna try and pit her against all these dogs? And then he does something smart, and he's
actually,
like, wafts
rolls
her
the window down
pheromones.
And wafts the hormones out to get the dogs to the car.
Which they're like extra strong because they've been giving her hormone cookie?
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Which, what the fuck? The neighbor eats. The neighbor eats the dog biscuits.
Oh my God.
That's so disgusting.
So with Bill, like, there's a long running thing throughout the series. Like, his ex-wife is this woman named Lenore. And there's an episode where he literally becomes Lenore. Like, he literally just bees like, I'm Lenore, and starts dressing like her.
Oh, no.
So I honestly think something hidden throughout the show is that Bill is just not comfortable in his own sexuality.
Oh.
Because there's literally, like, a huge episode where he has, like, this mental breakdown and becomes Lenore. And they're like, Bill, like, snap out of it. He's like, no, I'm Lenore.
Wow.
And even to the point where Hank starts dressing as a woman, just like trying to get him to feel comfortable in himself.
Yeah.
But wow. That, like, that scene right there also sets that up. Because why would he be eating, like, these biscuits?
Like, hormone.
Oh, yeah. So, like, does that happen?
Wow.
Yeah. That is, like, a definite thing. Because, like, I totally forgot about those biscuits when he just starts munching them. And I was like, wait, it's Bill everywhere. Becomes Lenore.
That's,
like,
that's such a dumb joke. That is such a deep character.
Exactly.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
That's
I'm
just
like,
classic Greg Daniels,
oh
Mike
my
Judge.
God.
Oh,
Mike Judge is the best. Beavis and Butthead.
Beavis and Butthead.
I had a dog named
What's
Beavis.
What's crazy is that you have the guy who made Beavis and Butthead and the guy who made The Office together on a show.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
How?
And that's the thing, though. I feel like it's a good, like, mashup of both of those worlds.
Completely
silly. Like, both of them are just so good at, like, analyzing people.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Analyzing, like, just the way people are in, like, especially in suburban environments. Like, it's Beavis and Butthead for sure. Like, they're just these two outcasts.
Teenagers, weirdo teenagers, yeah.
Yeah, and then The Office takes place in Scranton.
Uh-huh,
like,
uh-huh.
Yeah.
And everyone's character is, like, what, like, they do everything because of that. And, like, everything, every funny thing
they're all
is
shaped
just
by their
bouncing.
Environment.
Yeah, and there's... And their environment is, like, part of... It's the reason you're watching the show, almost. It's like they're brought together from it, and they have to survive within this space.
Well, that's like King of the Hill. They're all neighbors.
Yeah.
They have been forever. They're so dependent on each other.
They're eternally, like...
They're family.
In that alley, drinking beers. They're family. Dang.
A character we never see on this episode is Boomhauer.
Boomhauer is, like, the least occurring of the neighbors.
Is it because he doesn't talk in English?
One, he just speaks Boomhauer.
Yeah.
Like, dang old Bobby Hill, man. Dang old Goldie Girl, man. Like, and I like to think that, like, Boomhauer isn't around because he's the only one that, like, is truly kind of normal.
Yes, right?
And it's funny because it's offset by the fact that you can't understand anything he says. Like, there's a very good episode later in the series where Bobby goes up to Boomhauer so he could learn how to pick up women.
Yeah.
That is, like, one of the most classic episodes.
Wow.
He's like, listen up, Bobby, man. I'll tell you what, man. Just like, all you gotta do, man, be cool, man. Go up there. Dang old girls, man. They'll flock to you, man. Like, it's literally just all that.
Yeah. He's just telling him to be himself.
Yeah, he's like, Bobby. Like, he's honestly, like, I would argue that Boomhauer is the most supportive of Bobby. Because Boomhauer just is like, yeah, man, like, you're cool. Like, I'm cool. Be like me. Like,
I read the Wikipedia on, like, the main characters and stuff, which is a thing I don't normally do, but apparently Boomhauer is a Texas Ranger.
Yeah, that's, like, that's
like,
also
that's
could be why he's gone.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Boomhauer, unless, even if he's, I mean, if he's a Texas Ranger, that's kind of lame. But, but, like.
But he speaks multiple languages, apparently.
Yeah, Boomhauer.
Yeah.
And the fact that his first name is Jeff, like, I feel like he looks like a Jeff Boomhauer.
Like Jeff.
Ooh. Always driving, like, the coolest car.
Damn.
Always has, like, the hottest chick with him. Like,
I can't even be mad. Like, Boomhauer's cool as fuck.
Exactly. Cool. Boomhauer's the shit. Like, if I met Boomhauer in person, I'd be like, man, fuck this guy.
Yeah.
Same with if I met probably anybody in that show except for, like,
Hank,
Bobby, Hank, Bill, and Peggy.
Yeah.
Really, like, Boomhauer, like, who the hell's this asshole? Like, and if I met Dale, I'd just be like, fuck you. Like,
yeah.
But,
oh, geez. God,
yeah, Boomhauer is the shit.
Yeah.
Damn.
I love Hank and Peggy and their relationship, though. Like, I think they work well together. Hank is, like, so confident in himself and that and his love for Peggy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he also has this like extremely archaic
masculinity. Yeah, masculinity. That's the thing. Yeah. Like that's like I think it's one thing holding Hank back because he like he loves Peggy, but I think he's so caught up in his own masculinity it's really hard for him to show it.
Yeah.
But like
yeah, he's
when he does, it's really powerful. It's like, damn, like they love each other.
Yeah. He's the dad that like it took him forever to say I love you.
Oh yeah, yeah, 100%.
Like Bobby never or not Bobby, but Hank like very rarely tells Bobby he loves him, but he does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just hard for him to do it, not because he doesn't, it's because like he's a product of his environment.
Yeah.
Especially when you're raised by Cotton.
Yeah, that makes sense because he's like the worst kind of guy that, and he's probably so emotionally unavailable because he's traumatized by war.
Yeah, yeah. He has layers. He has layers.
This show keeps going.
It keeps giving. Yeah. Wow. Man. I really liked when they're taking Ladybird into the vet, and there's that moment where like where the doctor says, "Hi, Hank. Hi, Lady Bird." And then there's this like awkward moment, and Hank's like, yeah. "Oh, and this is my wife, Peggy. They've had this dog for 13 years. She's never been to the vet."
Yeah.
And she says, "I take care of our son."
But she has a job. She's a substitute
teacher. She's a substitute teacher. The best substitute teacher in the district.
In the district?
Yeah, she's she specializes in Spanish.
Wow. Which is funny because right. She just it's speaks the worst in accent.
Horribly broken Spanish.
Yeah.
Me llamo Peggy Hill.
Oh my God.
Como
I
te llamas.
Like,
oh my God.
Oh, but yeah, that's how she introduces herself. I take care of our son.
I take care of our son.
Yeah, you're right. 13 years. She has never
taken the dog to the vet. She's never, she's not involved in that. And like, and she introduces herself, it seems in a wry, like joking way. Like she's poking fun at this a little bit, but like that, like her whole identity is just their son. And so she doesn't take. Maybe it's like.
But also, why has Hank never mentioned his wife?
Hank takes care of the dog. She takes care of the son. Maybe is that how?
That's honestly sometimes like the way Peggy loves Bobby feels like the way Hank loves Ladybird. But it's weird because it's not like Hank loves Ladybird more than his own son. But it's just like. That's just the way they have this love. It's the way they have this weird relationship.
Ooh, it's
the way
so much easier for him to love Ladybird because Ladybird is just quiet and docile.
She's a dog. It doesn't matter as much. Well, I mean, it still matters, but it doesn't matter as much to the person, the kind of love you give them. Yeah. And with Hank, it does matter. So he's like.
Yeah, Hank doesn't have to worry about Ladybird like trying to become a rodeo clown.
That's true.
Ladybird is just a dog. And.
God, yeah.
Dog. God. And so he's willing to get in vitro fertilization that he learned about from a queer couple.
He learned about it when they went to, they flashback. Right. And one of the things he says is, in vitro is science run amok. And then at the end of that whole conversation with the doctor telling them they can do in vitro, or Peggy even says it, like, mm-hmm. we can do this, and then we can have a kid. And he's like, I'm not doing this, blah, blah, blah. That's how I was raised, by my mother and father, not a test tube.
Yeah. It's like, what the fuck? What does he think is going to happen?
It's a really good episode, too, that, like, hammers on Hank's traditional values. Because, like, when the couple comes up to him at the park, and they're like, let's go have a beer. And like he comes back and Peggy's like, well, I had the first thing he's like, are you two brothers? And they're like,
it's clearly a gay couple.
Yeah, obviously it's a gay couple. And the fact that like he gets home and he's like, well, I spoke to these two gentlemen at the bar, and he's like,
before
it all went wrong.
Like, they gave me some very good information.
Yeah. Like, I totally forgot about that part of the episode.
It's so good.
Because it's another good thing. Because it won, like, Hank isn't, like, a bigot. He's just so uncomfortable outside of his own environment.
You and your brother.
You and your brother. their reaction wasn't to even correct him. They were just like, okay.
This is Texas. Like,
oh, man.
Jeez.
1998 Texas.
Yeah.
Like, pre-George Bush America.
Wow.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that was like a very funny look into Hank. Because uh-huh. it's just like, of course. Uh-huh. Like, just this whole like, we're from Texas. Like, we do things how we do it in Texas, in America. Like, propane.
Oh my God, yeah. Man, like, oh, Hank propane, will die on the propane hill.
Propane, football, yeah. like, guns, cowboy shit. Like,
yeah. Man.
Yeah. It's dense.
I mean, Bobby wants to be a rodeo clown. It's still part of the rodeo.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Isn't that
it's
like...
It's the fun part.
Yeah.
Well, and the reason he wants to become a rodeo clown is because Hank signs him up to try and do, like, the actual rodeo. And to, like,
oh.
teach him how to be a cowboy.
Oh, dang.
But Bobby meets the rodeo clowns at the thing and is like, you guys are cool.
Damn. Because
that's, like, Bobby's thing.
Yeah.
And another cool thing about Bobby is Hank tries to get him to learn how to shoot. Because that's, like, the Texas thing. And Hank is, like, a notoriously awful, like, marksman.
Oh.
He's very
oh my
bad
God.
With a gun.
Yeah.
Of
but
course
Bobby,
he is.
Bobby is, like, a savant. Like,
yeah.
wow.
he literally is, like, the best marksman in the neighborhood. Like, out of nowhere.
Damn.
Like, he's just, like, nailing bullseyes and stuff. And that's, like, one of the few times throughout, like, the earlier parts of the series where, like, Hank is truly proud of Bobby, though. It's
oh,
really cool.
Because
he's like, that's my son. Yeah. Like... He's doing me proud in the way that like a Texan son
yeah.
should do me proud.
In the way that, and Bobby doesn't give a shit.
Yeah,
about.
And Bobby doesn't give a shit. He's
yeah.
just cool as a cucumber. He's just like,
oh my
yeah,
God.
Like I won. Like, I won. I did it.
There's so much, like, the layers are there. Like, I feel like every kid and every parent has that kind of relationship sometimes.
Yeah.
Or has seen that in their relationship where you just like, are someone that's not what your parent expected, and they have to like
they have to learn to adapt.
They mm-hmm. yeah, they have to like learn to. They're like, okay, just because you're not that doesn't mean I don't still love you.
Yeah,
and they have to like let go of all those expectations. You know, like you're not gonna be a football. You're not gonna be a quarterback, Bobby. You're
yeah.
just not gonna do
well,
it.
Yeah, and
know?
That's the thing too. Like he tries to get Bobby to play football, and Bobby just hates it.
Yeah,
he tries to go play soccer. And it, like, drives Hank up a wall. He's like, you can't be playing soccer, blah, blah, blah. Like, this is Texas. One of those.
Oh,
like, this,
man.
Like the classic Hank Hill.
Yeah.
Like, what? Blah. Like.
Yeah.
It seems like Hank is always, like, I mean, willing to change by the end
but
of the episode.
But that's the thing. That
like,
is, like, Hank is such a good character, though, too, because he does grow.
Yeah.
Like, he does admit when he's wrong. He's just so caught up in his own ways that it's hard for him to do it. Like,
mm.
Hank definitely knows what's right. Like, of all the neighbors, he is the one that knows the difference like between right and wrong. Because Dale's just a jackass.
Yeah.
Bill has his own things he's worrying about.
Totally
you know?
Untethered, yeah.
Yeah, Bill just needs to be comfortable in himself.
Uh-huh.
And then Boomhauer is just Boomhauer. Like, but cool Hank is, like, definitely the voice of reason and, like, is definitely the most willing to change.
I did not expect to watch this show and to come into this podcast and be like, oh, the show says so much about America. Like,
yeah,
this is a sociological experiment, the show, in the most beautiful way.
Exactly. Because
like,
it's funny.
Yeah.
And it's not like, I like, whenever I talk about the way I grew up in the suburbs, like, I'm lucky because my family was super cool. Like, they all have their head on straight. It's nice. But, like, so many people I grew up with don't.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And it's hard for me to, like, talk about it without being an asshole and being like fuck this person, this group of people.
Yeah.
But, like, King of the Hill does it in a very good way that, like, I certainly couldn't. Because it's like, no, like, these people aren't the worst people in the world. They're just different, and that's the way they go about their life.
Yeah.
And you have to hope that one day they
now.
Can change. Yeah,
yeah that's it. That's
the But, like,
yeah.
I don't know. It's like, well, that's the show doing it.
That's
like,
true, yeah.
That's the show bringing it out of me. Like, but it's just, it's such a good lens.
It is really easy to write off, like, I used to, like, be so unforgiving of the people I grew up with. And now I'm like, they're, like, it took me a while to realize, like, oh, at least they knew what they wanted. Like,
yeah,
I was over here floundering. And
yeah, King of the Hill gave me the perspective that I needed. Because, like, especially in the past few years with everything that's happened, like, in my hometown especially, I've just been like, this sucks.
Yeah.
Like, this is awful. Like, I need to get out. And I did.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, Yeah, King of the Hill, like, when I say, like, it was, like, a comfort show for me, because I was like, damn, like, all right, all that shit sucked, but, like, what was I going to do about it? Like, yeah. I did everything I could. Like, I didn't, I was raised by good people, like, and I know a lot of cool people back home, and there's nothing I can do about it, just hope that people learn. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, yeah, King of the Hill, especially, too, shows that, like, these people just are so stuck in their ways.
Yeah. There's no, like, dismantling that system without, like, completely, like, unless you want to live there, unless you have to love that environment and love those people enough to stay and try and, like, to be the Hank Hill and, well, like, convince people to, like, change, you
something
know?
Something that's so rooted in the suburbs right now is, like, the idea of tradition. And, like, that's the thing in King of the Hill is they're also stuck to these traditions.
Yeah.
And people back where I grew up, and I'm sure where you grew up, Lisa, are so hinged to these stupid traditions of just, like, dumb things that need to be done. And it's, I'm not talking about, like, on a large scale. It's, like, things as little as, like, making sure your grass is cut. Like, having a clean car. Like, picking up dog shit.
Yeah.
Like, it's, people are so tethered to that. And it's just weird that that's the culture.
Like, but, why does that matter as much as, like, anything else going on in your life?
Yeah.
Cutting the grass?
Seriously? Like, and I'll be honest, I love cutting grass. It's very therapeutic.
Absolutely.
But I don't cut the grass because of some sort of society thing telling me, like, cut the grass. I'm like, no, I'm just like, I'm going to go listen to music or a podcast for an hour and go cut the grass because it'll make me feel good.
Yeah. Like, we don't have grass in Arizona.
Oh, that's true. No grass.
What do we do? I have collected firewood for bonfires before.
Do you rake the sand?
No, we fucking don't.
Rake the
Clean
sand.
The pool? Like,
water the plants.
I feel like a lot of, I never had a pool. Yeah, water the plants.
Water the plants, that's a thing. Like, I mean, they're cactuses, but they still need that watering. So.
My mom grew oleanders. Like,
oh, wow.
I love oleanders.
Those are, they need a lot of water.
Yeah.
Those
things. It really doesn't make sense to grow them in the desert.
Yeah, yeah.
Your mom just likes a challenge.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Driven.
But yeah, it is it's just yard work's therapeutic.
Yard work is therapeutic. That is one thing, like, now that I live in the city, and I have for 6 months. But, like, I do miss, like, some weird things about the suburbs. And that's, like, going back again to, like, King of the Hill scratching that itch.
Yeah.
Because it's just, like, man, like, some of that weird suburban shit is kind of cool. Like,
yeah.
It's, like, some of the traditions of suburbia can be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Like,
You have to leave, though, to be able to see
to appreciate it. Because I was like, man, like, as crazy as some of my neighbors were and people I grew up around, like, having, like, the whole neighborhood come around for 4th of July was kind of cool.
That's
like
neat.
It was kind of cool.
What?
Like, and just stuff like that. Dang. Or, like, playing youth baseball was cool. Or, like, just, like, hanging out and doing bonfires was cool.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. It's like, you take what you get.
Yeah.
And, I don't know.
It's good to have, like, good memories. I feel like everybody has that. Mm-hmm. And the show, what this show does well is show you, like, just... Like, that you can see both sides. Like, you can see, like, some of this is bad.
It gave me the perspective I needed.
And, yeah.
Where, like I said, back throughout the past few years, I was just so bitter at home and just, like, everybody around here is insane. And I was like, yeah, they're insane, but they don't know any better. Like,
and also,
they're not going to try, but we can at least try to help them up as a society. And I feel like our generation, like, anybody under 35 right now, has their head on straight for the most part. Like,
I hope so.
For the most part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least wants to see society become a better place.
That's true.
I don't know. I want to believe you, but I'm being from Arizona.
That's true.
Yeah.
Some of the Trumpers run deep.
Oh, yeah.
We did just, I don't know if you you heard, the audit just came back.
Oh, boy.
Like a month ago. And guess who won the election? It was Biden. Thank God
what
we did
surprise.
A totally partisan audit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but that's just Arizona for you. Like, there's still people there who are not going to believe that.
But the
My
crazy
hometown is like a very, very conservative part of the suburbs. Like literally like a little pocket where like there was a big like local election before I moved out to the point where like, there's, like, the Homer Glenn GOP that was running, and they're all, like, hardcore, like, insurrectionist type Republicans.
Ooh, wow.
And the opposite, like the people that were running against them, literally put stuff in the mail in every home in Homer Glen saying all of these people on the ballot posted on Facebook that they were at like the Capitol riot. Maybe don't vote for them.
Oh my God.
And the Capitol riot people still won.
Oh my God.
How crazy my hometown is.
Oh my God.
They still won in like a landslide after just getting doxxed.
Oh my God. They got doxxed, but the doxing worked.
The doxing might have worked.
Might have like, yeah. Like that's like, oh,
in their favor.
Yeah.
Yeah. How, it was crazy.
In what? Aren't they going to be like, aren't they on, people who were at the riots, aren't they under investigation? Like,
yeah.
What is happening?
I was like,
the FBI's coming for you, bitch.
Yeah.
What the
like,
fuck?
It's wild.
Not just regular narcs. Big time narcs.
Yeah, the narcs.
The like, narcs.
The narciest of narcs. The literal FBI.
What the
Holy fuck?
Wow. Yeah, I mean, that's just like, that's America these days.
Yeah.
It's pretty divided.
Yeah,
and this show isn't like about politics. Like, King of the Hill is just about
it, like,
people.
It touches on it.
Yeah.
But like, I would love to see a King of the Hill, like, one season reboot.
just for now.
Yeah.
Because I would love to see Hank Hill in 2021.
Yeah.
It's
He's
a really
either,
good mirror.
Like, what do we think Hank Hill would be up to right now? Like, hopefully Bobby's killing it doing comedy. Like, Bobby probably just secured, like, a nice little Netflix deal.
Bobby's doing better
specials.
Than Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
Bobby's killing it.
But I could see Hank wearing his mask out in public, and it's like his nose is exposed, his chin is exposed, and it's just going over his mouth like this.
Yeah, like Hank would like, Hank at the start of the pandemic would have been like, all right now, like, we need to be careful and look out for each other.
Uh-huh.
And he would like, he wouldn't deny the virus, but he would hate all the parameters of it.
Yep.
Yeah.
And like,
you're telling me I can't go to my own grocery store?
What do you mean I can't go to the grocery store without wearing this stupid mask? Like, he would do it because he's Hank and he's like a good dude.
Yeah.
Like Dale would have been at the Capitol riot.
Yeah.
Dale was there. No. Like, Dale was in Nancy Pelosi's office.
Oh my God.
He was there.
Yeah.
But Dale, the thing about Dale is he's so like dumb that he wouldn't even
realize why he would
how
be there.
Bad it was.
Like, that's why he would
like,
be
he
there.
He would be completely oblivious to like there being like actual violence. Any actual violence he's faced with, he can't even stomach it. Like, he drops his gun.
He does.
When he goes after the
immediately,
the
yeah.
guy in the B plot with the parking ticket.
Oh,
they
man.
Give him a bounty, and the bounty is just a guy with a parking ticket.
Yeah.
And of course, Dale brings a gun.
Yeah.
A shotgun.
He brings a rifle.
In it, hidden in the pizza box, and it's sticking out.
Uh-huh.
Like, what the fuck?
Well, I love too when the first time he tries to get him, he's literally like dressed up like a florist.
Oh, yeah.
But as he looks into the peephole, you see Bounty Hunter on his hand. And then you hear the car pulling out of the driveway.
Oh,
like,
he's
that
just
is,
standing there.
That scene in particular is Dale Gribble to a T.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm the smartest man in the world. Maybe you're not, Dale. Like,
oh, no. Yeah, you're right. He would have been at the riot.
He totally would have been at the riot.
Yeah.
Bill. I feel like Bill would love quarantine. Like, Bill would have been living it up in quarantine.
Yeah.
Bobby would just be killing it. He'd be doing stand-up. I feel like Peggy would be, like, wearing a mask inside. Like,
inside
her
the
house.
Her
like, she'd be wearing a mask inside the house.
Mm-hmm.
Not that that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
But Peggy would definitely be, like, the hardcore
just wearing
COVID
gloves.
Protector. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just constantly, like, spraying, like...
Yeah.
It's like
mask
it's like
and face shield
everywhere.
Yeah.
What's crazy is I think Luann and Hank are actually more similar.
It is. I would agree.
They're like, really similar.
Hank and Luann's relationship is really kind of cute throughout the whole thing. Because like Hank, I think based on like his own weird principles, like can't wrap his head around any of the things that Luann does. Just because like he wouldn't know what it's like to have a daughter. And especially having like this grown woman around the house that is not his daughter.
Yeah, and
like,
he just
really
he wouldn't know how to be a woman at all.
Yeah,
so.
And like, but their relationship, like over time, like he does. It's another thing where like it's hard for him to show it, but like he genuinely cares about her.
Mm-hmm.
He does hate Buckley though.
That's fair.
R.I.P. R.I.P. Buckley.
R.I.P. What to be fair, Buckley had like no aspirations, right? Like,
yeah, but he was cool.
When does he die? When did he die?
At the beginning of season 3.
Oh shit!
So, Hank. So Hank gets fired, or I don't remember if he gets fired or he leaves Strickland Propane or he gets laid off or something, and he has to go work in propane sales at like their version of Walmart in Ireland.
Oh no!
And Buckley works there, and like Buckley's like also kind of in like the sales department and whatnot. And there's an accident that happens where the store blows up and it kills Buckley. And it causes Luann to go into, like, a major mental breakdown where, like, she shaves her head.
Whoa. Then, they're totally making fun of Britney.
Yeah. They? Well, no, this is pre-Britney. This is pre-Britney. More like, this is like Sinead O'Connor. Like, that's kind of what they're playing on. Yeah, she, like, becomes, like, an activist and whatnot. Yeah. And, but, like, throughout the series, there's a point where, like, Luann, like, that whole season just, like, can't get over Buckley. She's just constantly, like, looking for ways to cope with it. But then, like, she sees his angel. And he's, like, wearing the uniform of, like, the store.
Yeah.
Just, like, floating. I actually discussed getting an R.I.P. Buckley tattoo with one of my friends.
You gonna do it?
I don't know. I feel like I need a few drinks.
Do you have any tattoos?
I do not.
Oh.
Because the friend I was telling this about, I was like, dude, I want to get a King of the Hell tattoo. And he's like, we should get matching Strickland propane tanks. Yeah. I was like, that's actually kind of tight.
That's pretty cool.
All I wanted to get was just like R.I.P. Buckley somewhere, like random, like on my leg somewhere. Yeah.
The Strickland propane, it's a little classier.
It's a little classier.
I actually had a customer at Trader Joe's, like when I first started in the city, that had a Dale Gribble tattoo. Wow. It was just his face, like, with a cigarette. And I was like,
amazing.
That's tight. Like, that is a very good tattoo.
You get to really love King of the Hill.
Yeah, just to have Dale Gribble's face on you with the cigarette and everything. Like,
oh, my God.
It's so cool. I love that.
Do you have a favorite episode of the show?
Trying to think. There's an episode where the guys all become volunteer firefighters. That is very good.
Oh.
Like, nothing goes right.
Yeah.
That is a very good one. Trying to think. When Bobby goes to the women's self-defense class, that's a good one. That's, like, a very classic episode.
I feel like I've seen that one.
Yeah. Like, that's my purse! Like, that's kind of, like, the whole classic line. But...
Oh, man.
There's so many episodes of that show. It's like The Simpsons, where, like... It's very hard to pinpoint one, but those are always like the two in my head.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My dad used to watch this show all the time. I think he really saw himself in it.
See, I'm trying to get my parents to watch King of the Hill because like they're not very much like in like the King of the Hill like ideal of like traditionalness and stuff. Like I said, they're really cool. But I'm like, I want you guys to watch it just so you can kind of see it from my perspective. Just to be like, oh, like, this makes sense. Like, we all lived this life together. Like,
that's so cute. You want to share this with your parents?
Yeah, I was like, now that I'm gone, like, I want you guys to watch this just so you can, like, see how I feel about the way I grew up in this town. Because I know you guys feel the same way.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, it's nice to have cool parents when you're, especially when you feel, if you feel, like, alienated. Like, Bobby doesn't feel alienated at all, I don't think.
Mm-mm.
Well, that's why Bobby's so cool.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't give a shit.
Yeah.
Like, he's just gonna do him.
Yeah.
Even when he's, like forced to go get cookies from, like, a specialty store, pays $26 for these fuckers.
He was so mad that he had to bike 2 miles to go get these cookies.
and he's finally told, no, you're not adopted. And
he has another question. I'll tell you your middle name.
I'll tell you your middle name.
Will you give me some milk? Okay. Sure.
There's actually another very good episode with Bobby where he thinks he has gout. So he drives around in like a Rascal scooter all the time. And he's just like, I got the gout. That is a very classic episode. Just to hear a 12-year-old kid being like, I got gout.
Oh, no.
In no world does Bobby have
gout.
Nope.
But he's really dramatic and
he's really smart. Like the fact that he even like would be able to recognize it and be like, I have gout. It's so funny.
Gout.
Oh my God. Nobody dies in this episode, right?
Nobody dies.
Nobody dies.
Yeah.
Does anybody I guess technically Hank and Peggy probably smash.
Yeah, that's true.
And they're trying to get Lady Bird to smash. Oh, she does fuck that
guy. Yeah, she does.
That dog.
She does.
Or get whatever. They have sex. There is sex in this.
There is sex in this.
No,
this
death.
Is yeah, this is a sex filled King of the Hill episode.
Yeah. It's this is
purely,
a sex
filled. Purely in discussion.
Somehow with sex, lots of sex, no sexual
no
tension.
Yeah. No.
None.
That
none.
Describes King of the Hill pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, how are these two together? There's no chemistry.
I don't know. They love each other.
Hank used to kill it back in the day.
Dang.
I bet.
Hank was killing it.
Bet. He's tall.
Yeah.
He's tall.
He looks pretty good. Like when they show him younger, he
looked
looks
exactly
the same. Except that his beer belly is smaller.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. His hair's longer and he's just a little more slim.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Peggy looked the same.
Melamo Peggy Hill.
Melamo? Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
Do you... I don't
is there
have any
anything,
more questions.
Yeah, is there anything else about this show that you need?
Man, I feel like this got really deep. I feel like we touched into a lot.
I didn't
King's
expect
Hill.
It to, yeah.
But
I mean, it was a deep episode. It brought us there. Damn.
It was a really good episode to land on
for
the sake of discussion.
Hell yeah. That's why I chose season 3, episode 4.
Just
because of this season.
He
well
says
done.
That, this one. He says that, but he picked it arbitrarily.
Yeah.
I think it's a good pinpoint.
It is.
I really think so.
Think so too.
And the series changes from here on out, even though it goes till 2010, 12 years later.
That's wild.
It's still like, this is big for...
Big for Hank and Peggy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big for Hank and Peggy. Damn.
What a lovely couple.
Yeah.
Peggy Hill's awesome too. I love Peggy Hill. She is my queen. Like, I love Peggy Hill.
Yeah, people should watch this show. Yeah. People should watch this show.
Yeah, everybody, like, anybody who has grown up in the suburbs, or anybody who's really grown up in America, should at least watch a little bit of King of the Hill.
I feel it's outside of America can also feel this shit.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
If you're growing up in a small town in, I don't know, Norway or something like that, you probably have a similar feel about this.
Also, like, if you're curious about American life.
Yeah.
That is the way to look at it.
Yeah.
It is such a good, like, slice of life
of
suburban America.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
A portrait of suburban America.
It's a very niche look at, like, one part of America.
I would love to see it, like, if they made it dramatic. They're like, this is Mike Judge and Greg Daniels. Slice of America.
Slice of America. King of the Hill.
King of the Hill.
Oh, I forgot that's the song.
It's so good.
Oh, my God.
Before we go, we'd like to thank the creators of the show, Mike Judge, Greg Daniels.
This episode was written by Jonathan Abel and Glenn Berger.
And was directed by Chris Moeller and Wesley Archer.
This episode is filled with the dulcet tones of Mike Judge, Kathy Najimy, Pamela Adlin, and Johnny Hardwick.
And we wouldn't have our show if they didn't make theirs. So.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Kill the Hill, for making such a beautiful piece of art.
Yeah.
Where can we find you, Matt? Where
can people find you?
Do you want people to find you?
Yeah. You can find me. You can follow me on Instagram. Excuse me. _Matt_Gray. I'm on Twitter at Bouillon Don. what else? Yeah, just go ahead and follow me.
Yeah.
I'm not really doing much right now. Just kind of hanging out.
But keep an eye out. Matt's like incredibly funny.
Oh, thank you.
Like,
do you like post jokes on Twitter and stuff?
I shitpost about baseball on
Twitter.
It is a lot of shitposting on Twitter.
Hell yeah.
If you don't like baseball, don't follow me on Twitter. But yeah, if you want to follow me on Instagram, I have a weekly Spotify playlist that I put out.
That's cool.
It's called Matt Scover Weekly.
That's very cool.
I didn't put one out this week because of the White Sox. And they lost.
Yeah.
But I don't want to get too deep in that. It's giving me enough sadness for the past 24 hours. But yeah, you guys can go ahead and find me there. But I'm super glad you guys had me on. This is like super fun to talk about
great
King of the Hill.
Yeah.
And it got really deep.
You know, you never really know where these discussions are going to go.
Nah.
And it was nice to talk about it with someone who like had the same perspective. I totally agreed with everything you were saying. I was like, oh yeah, duh. Like that's like, I was watching this and thinking of home yeah. the whole time too. It was really nice.
It scratches an itch. Yeah. It really yeah. does.
thank you for listening to season 3, episode 4. Our theme song is written and performed by Jacob Bernstein.
You can find Jacob Bernstein.
Yeah, shout out. Check him out.
Yeah.
You can find Lisa on Instagram at LISSISSISSA.
You can find Adam on Instagram at DamnHD.
And you can find Ozzy on Instagram. You heard him scratching at the couch earlier at OZZIE the buddy.
And you can find this podcast at season 3, episode 4.
The words are words, the numbers are numbers.
Bye! Too high. I went too high.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're at a different part of the song.